ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Amen. I said amen. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Where my message this morning has been preached through those testimonies. I like to title this, Wise Master Builders. Wise Master Builders. All of us, we are building. We are architects. We are cooperating with the master architect. Let's open to Matthew chapter 7. I read verses 24 to 29. Whether you realized it or not, please understand that you are building. You are building in your life. You are building. You can either be building your life as a person. You're building your career. You're building your business. You're building your home. You're building your community. But every one of us, we are builders. And Jesus, the master builder, has this advice for each and every one of us today. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he said, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, so everyone is building. We are building. We are building with materials. We are building with knowledge. We are building with professional competence. We are building with business, the sense of business acumen. It says, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. So the wise man builds, the foolish man also builds. He said, who builds his house on the sand? The difference is the quality of the material. The difference is the condiment that was used in building. The difference is where we take our template of building from. It says, and the rain descended. So the same condition applies across board. It said, the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. Verse 28. And so it was when Jesus has ended these sayings that the people were astonished at its teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, because he's the master builder, is the architect of our lives. That's why he can teach. He's the one who put our lives together. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, without him, nothing was made. And that's just it. Without Jesus, our lives may be meaningless when it comes to building. So, buildings can be very fascinating or breathtaking architectural masterpieces when completed. And except you are familiar with the structure involved in construction works, if there is an ongoing work, it may not make any sense to you. Because in the buildings or construction industry, the architect is actually the major stakeholders. The architect, even before you have the land to build on, already have a preconceived concept about that building.
where the toilet will be, where the living room will be, where the garage will be, where the garden will be, where the swimming pool will be. The architect already visualized it. He visualized the dimension. He studied the direction of the wind. He understand the details. If the building is going to go up, he understand those details. He does soil test. I mean, these are things that goes into the preparation of any construction work before the building actually comes into being. And because he has these details, even when the land is gotten, when the site starts, he comes regularly to ensure that that building is being constructed according to the design. I mean, setbacks must be maintained. You know that, of course, you see, if you live in our own part of the world, if you get into certain communities, you already know the end of the building before it's completed. Some buildings are like that, even before they put any roof on it. Some building, by the rainy season, you already know. You already know. I mean, I think it was Pastor Shola who shared this experience as an engineer. He used to pass through a particular road to a site. So there came that fateful day, and they were building close to the bank of one river like that. Not his own site, but someone was building a bungalow. He said, and it rained that day. He said, by the time they were passing, there was already water at almost the lintel level of that house. So he said, well, it's of no use continuing the construction. But you know the way it is in Lagos. People will still go ahead and construct. But that should tell you that that was a building that maybe details consideration wasn't given before it was built. So, God is a master builder of our lives. So, except you can relate with construction work, any ongoing work doesn't make sense. And if you look at our lives, the same thing. When God is at work in your life, sometimes your life doesn't make sense to people around you. Except someone can see with the eyes of God, they don't understand the details of what God is doing in your lives. Every one of us are involved in the construction of our lives, whether it's our families, it's our careers, it's our business. But we need to be mindful. That's my message today. Every one of us should be conscious, be mindful of the kind of edifice that we're building, and then the kind of materials we engage so that we can build. You know, those two illustrations, same condition, same environment, but one chose to build on the rock. The other one, by the reason of the materials being engaged, I mean, they found out to be building on the sand. I've said this, architects are important stakeholders in any construction work because of one fact, they preconceive and determine the structure of that edifice. In a greater way, the master architect, God, is also involved in the details of our lives. Jeremiah was talking about his own inadequacies because sometimes when God is at work in a man's life, I mean, people just don't understand. So Jeremiah was complaining about his own adequacy. And look at God's response to him in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He said, God, in response to what Jeremiah was saying, I mean, if you read that in context, he said, I was a child, I'm a child, I can't talk, I am slow of speech. And interestingly, that is our natural response when God begins to do something. You know, our brother shared that testimony. I mean, you are just settling in into a job opportunity, and God is saying, no, you hear him, you have no continuous city. There is still one yet to come. And people around you think that you are crazy when you make such important decisions. So sometimes it's our inadequacies, but look at what God's response. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You know, the day I read this, I just came to the conclusion. Even our parents, our natural parents, don't understand the details of our lives. a country, despite all the planning, all the things that they do within population census and all that, they still don't get the details of our life. Which, what this scripture suggests to me is that if you allow God as the master planner, as the master architect, you are bound to succeed with your life. You may not have natural parents, but with God, you are bound to succeed because He's the one who formed us in the womb, is the one who knew us, is the one who, before we were born, fashioned out the details of our lives. There is an assignment, there is a sense of purpose. David, also in his own confusion, in Psalm 139, talking about his life. I mean, David was a product of one night stand. I mean, nobody, they didn't mention his mother. So, he had no, when David is in company of his, probably his mate, he had no pedigree in that real sense. When people say after school, they are going home, their mom is waiting for them at home. David, as a young chap, doesn't have any mother. As a matter of fact, if you look at the story of the life of David, I can't imagine someone having a son in that culture because they hold, I mean, so dear to their heart when they have a male child. The day the prophet came and they were asking the dad, and he said, parade all your sons. His dad forgot that he had a son named David. Because it was when Prophet Samuel said, are these all your sons? You know, I said, there is one. And you know that sometimes people's reaction in our lives have been that way. So you are also a human being. And then David couldn't even match it. David wasn't using a Gucci perfume. It was smell of animals. So by the time he came, because the way they described him, by the time he came and entered that room, the BO changed the fragrance of that room. Shepherds, I mean, in those days, I mean, just like you have it around us today, even though we don't call them shepherds, you know the ones around us, they don't have where they have their bath. If they are going to have their bath, maybe once in 2-3 weeks. Because they are nomads. They don't stay in a place. So the luxury is not here. The pedigree is not here. And then, you know, his eldest brother, the Bible says that he was tall. He had time to go to the gym, so he already built up. And even this prophet says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. What am I saying this morning? If God is involved in our lives, the supposed limitation is not an issue for him. Look at what the description of David's life. Look at what he said later on, because he was reminiscing about, that's when he wrote this book of Psalms. Psalm 139 from verses 13 to 16. In his own confusion, look at what he said. He said, for you formed my inward parts. He said, you covered me in my mother's womb. He said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't know how David is. Maybe he wasn't an handsome man. Maybe his hair was like satellite dish. His nose was out of place. But he was saying, I am fearfully. I am fearfully. You know, people sometimes are not satisfied with their features today. So they have all the lipsos in this world just to be able to look beautiful. But David said, in that state, I am wonderful. Mate, I am fearfully. So maybe when David looks at you, his whole face, you know, there are some people like that, when they look at you, you are scared. But he said in that, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. He said, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your height, your posture, your body frame, it's made together by God. He said, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. The apostles were complaining also about their own loneliness. I mean, Jesus had been with them. He fed them. They had time. They saw him heal the sick. And Jesus said he was going. Jesus was assuring them, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. So when Jesus died, they thought it was the end. And so some of them even went back. Peter went back to fishing. John, all of them went back. They were scared because of the event. And then Jesus resurrected, and then he appeared to them. And Jesus was still talking to them about the promise. They can see that he resurrected, but they were thinking, who will feed us? What we will do again? And look at what Jesus said to them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 in their loneliness. He said, behold, I sent unto you the promise. He said, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were so troubled that they were asking him, now that you have resurrected, are you ready now to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, no, I'm not going to keep you here. I have an assignment for you. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you will be witnesses, one with first-hand experience about the impact of God in a man's life. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. So this morning, just to encourage us, God knows the details of our lives. And he wants to help us to build if we allow him. You say, how does that work? Because he created us with a will. You have to make the decision to allow him. God wants to be in the driver's seat of our lives. And he's sure about the roadmap. He doesn't need a Google map to get you to your destination. And that should tell you something. If Google is so good to lead people and don't lead them into error.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,